wrong picture. Hey, write that down. Take it home. Meditate. It's not complicated. On one hand, can't be touched. On the other hand, just lying there under the meanest, most awful person who wants to bully you and not even trying to get away. Can I just say something? That is a pitiful picture, isn't it? That's a pitiful picture. The whole world lying helplessly under the domination of the one who only kills, steals, and destroys. Can I say something else? It's also the exact opposite of what the world believes. Just go back to Adam and Eve. Didn't Satan say the exact opposite? What did Satan say? He said, you are lying under the dominating, abusive power of God. And I can free you from that. Right? God is restricting you. God is holding you back. God seeks to limit you. But I can release you. Right? Satan claims the exact opposite. Young people, can I tell you something? Well, I can and I'm going to. I know that it can seem like the opposite of what 1 John 5:19 says is true. Right? It can seem like that the world is like a box of endless surprises, opportunities, and excitements that just have to be tasted up, just have to be tried. And what God says seems so restrictive, seems so close-minded, seems so narrow, and it is. For broad is the way that leads to destruction, but straight and narrow is the gate that leads, tight and narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few there be that find it. It seems like what Satan told Eve was right. There is so much to be tasted. There is so much to be tried. There is so much that God is limiting us from. Here's what God says. God says true freedom, true, lasting, everlasting freedom is found under my authority. My authority leads to life, but the whole world lieth helplessly under the dominion of the wicked one. Romans 1 teaches this. Romans 1 teaches that the way of the world is that we are wise. Follow our wisdom. And God says, actually, the way of the world that seemed to be so wise was foolishness. And then Romans 1 begins to describe how that God leaves the world to itself, and the world finds itself under the dominating, crushing, helpless dominion of Satan. And it begins to show itself in all kinds of awful ways. Romans 1 describes describes a society that has loosened all sexual, moral standards, and a society will not be content with that. And so a society begins to continue to descend to more and more and more unnatural things, calling those unnatural things natural. And can I tell you, friends, or I want to tell you, friends, that that only leads to death. Look at the suicide rates of the transgender population. Look at the suicide rates of those who are so desperate. So desperate. I think honestly desperate to be received and accepted as being normal and being right. Friends, they are sadly but surely lying under, helplessly lying under the crushing bullying of the wicked one. Proverbs 5 teaches the same thing. Proverbs 5 and 7 teaches the same thing, right? You don't have to go into homosexuality. You just go into normal heterosexuality. It says that those who follow after the alluring voice of the strange woman find themselves under the crushing weight of the wicked one, the deceiver. Romans 3 teaches the very same thing. There's no fear of God in the eyes of the wicked one. We don't need God. We don't need God. Romans 3 teaches that the whole world becomes guilty. The whole world full of hatred. The whole world full of poison. Because it rejects the ways of God. And it finds itself guilty under the crushing weight of the wicked one. So believer, can I tell you what Jesus thought about this? Jesus prayed for you specifically about this issue. Here's what Jesus prayed. John 17. I do not pray that you take them out of the world. That's very interesting, isn't it? There are whole subsets of Christian culture that I think get it way wrong. The monastic existence is not what God has called us to. What the Amish do is not what God has called us to. I heard a story. This is kind of humorous, but I think it was Al Mohler telling the story of how God has not called us to this kind of existence. And he was in the Pennsylvania, in the Amish country, and he noticed that there was a place that had, and he wasn't making fun of them, but it was a place that had electric lights in their cow dairy barn. And he asked about it, and they said, well, the regulations are if you sell milk, you have to provide electricity in the place where the cows are housed. It's just the regulations. And he said, I thought, how ironic is that? That the cows can see where to walk at night, but the people can't. In other words, you can't get away. You cannot get away from the regulations of society. No matter how much you try, you still have to keep your cows lit. So there is no escape from society. There is no escape from the world. And in fact, God does not call us to escape from the world. He doesn't. God calls us to live in this world. To live, to intermingle, to be salt and light, not to escape from the world. I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but I pray that you keep them from the world. And friend, you will never be kept from the world if you don't believe 1 John 5:19. Let me say again, the whole world lies under the weight of the wicked one. What a pitiful scene. What a sad scene. Well, I'm not going to keep you long, so let me just say several things in rapid fire closing. What do you do here? So keep them from the world, live in the world. How will God have us live in the world? Well, 1 John 2, we won't go over this again, but 1 John 2 says, don't love the world, but spend your time loving the Father. Love not the world, but love the Father instead. Romans chapter 12, Paul would say, the way to not be conformed to the world is to keep your mind renewed upon the renewed by the words of God. You cannot escape the influence of the world if you are not interested in what God has to say. And if you're not regularly running to God to see what He has to say in His Word. So do not think that you can live an unworldly life or live a godly life and have no meaningful relationship with His Word. You must renew your mind. And then finally, this may sound even contradictory, but it's not. Jesus says to all of us, through his agents, but all of us in a real way, go into the world. Go into the world. Have an influence upon the world. Go into the world, teaching the ways of Christ. Brother Lewis talked about discipleship last week. And maybe there are some here today who are so young in the faith, think, man, I can never get to be to a place where I could be helping guide a younger one in the ways of the Lord. Can I tell you, it might just start. You can start today. You can start today by living with the conviction that you are not of this world. You can have an influence on your fellow young people by not just jumping full force into the world and worldly ways and worldly entertainments and worldly things. Friends, remember this picture. The whole world lies under the wicked one. I cannot think of this God's word picture, so I've got a better word picture. I cannot think of anything more illustrative than to think of not being touched on one hand and fully being under the oppressive weight on the other hand. That's the reality of the world that we live in. Now, go be citizens of the kingdom of heaven, even as you live in this present world. Do not be like Demas, who forsook Paul because he loved this present world so much. Again, this is a football sermon. It's basic. It's nothing different. But how important it is that we believe it and that we embrace it. May God help us. Thank you for listening to this message. Our prayer is that you've been blessed by the messages and the daily devotional blog on sermon audio from Ripley Primitive Baptist Church. We would love the opportunity to be of greater service to you and your walk with Christ. In other words, we would like to get to know you better. Do you have need of counsel, of a home church, or can we just pray for you? Please feel free to contact us by phone at 662-837-8590 or visit our website at www.ripleypbc.com.